the source of speaking to a fair number of your compatriots, usually in the morning, on issues in Chumash, and some of them ask me some very scintillating questions. I say that in all honesty and sincerity. And this morning, several of your compatriots came to me, besides yourself, and asked me the following questions. And so I decided to address both of them. The first question is the first Rashi in this week's Parsha. Right, Daber Hashem Moshe Leimor. Rashi has no comment on that. Daber Bnei Yisrael, V'yikhu Li Truma. Says Rashi, V'yikhu Li Lishmi. What's the Torah telling us? That the construction of the Beis HaMikdash has to be Lishma. Where is the construction to be found? The Pasuk Ches V'asu Li Mikdash. Notice again, what word is used? Li. In the beginning, v'yikhu li truma. And number two, v'asu li migdash, v'shachad li besocham. The Targum Onkelos translates both of them as v'yafushun kodomai, or v'yabdun kodomai. But Rashi, if you take a look again at Rashi, the first line, v'yikhu li truma says Rashi li lishmi. Secondly, Rashi says the word truma means Hafrasha. Hafrasha means to set aside. Yafrishu li mi mamona nidaba. They should essentially give a voluntary contribution in order to construct the Mishkan. So there's a chiddush, which is a very significant chiddush here that the Torah is articulating, and that is that the construction of the Mishkan has to be lishma, has to be for the sake of Hashem. Let's say a person were to build a house, and later on decide that I'm going to convert the house to the Beis HaMikdash. That is not a proper mikdash, that's not a valid mikdash, al pi halacha. Ad kidei kach, where the Rambam passes Hilchos Beis HaBchira in Perek Aleph, halacha chof, the Rambam passes over there Beis HaBchira, that even the quarrying of the stones, I'm talking about the hewing out of the stone, also has to be, also for the same purpose, the Shem Mikdash. If I quarry a stone without having the Beis HaMikdash in mind, you cannot use that for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. Which is an amazing halacha. I assume you are aware of the pasuk in Tanakh. Undoubtedly, all of you are aware, not necessarily the specific pasuk, but in Divrei Hayamim, we know that David HaMelech wanted so much to build the Beis HaMikdash, and yet Hashem did not permit him to do so. Why? There are two reasons mentioned in Tanakh why David HaMelech was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash. Reason number one?
War. Spilled
too much blood. I can't hear.
Too much blood on his hands.
Excellent. That's the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Dam harbe shafachta. The Navi says that you spilled a lot of blood, you made a lot of wars, and therefore you cannot build the Beis HaMikdash. Let me ask you, why should that render him ineligible to build the Beis HaMikdash just because he was involved in wars that obviously were for the purpose of defending the Klal Yisrael, defending the Jewish people? Why should that make him ineligible to build the Beis HaMikdash? So it would appear that bloodshed and the Beis HaMikdash don't go together. How do I know that? Can anyone read me a raya? A raya from a parsha that we not long ago read. There's only one or two people probably who would think about it. Miyada, I imagine all of you really should think about it. At the end of parsha. Yeah, excellent. But you will both have the same idea in mind. At the end of parsha Yisro, the Torah said the following. You're going to build a Mizbech of Avonim. Lo tidne eshen gozit. You should not use any metallic implement to build a Mizbech. Why? Ki charbecha heinafto alea vatechal alea. So Rashi comments on the spot. Very famous Rashi. Shah Mizbech nivra laharich yom av shaladam. What was the Mizbech built for what purpose? In order to promote arichas yomim. Vabarzel nivra lekatze yom av shaladam. Obviously, metallic implements can be used as lethal weapons. And therefore, that is designed to what? To shorten the life of a person. Ein zebedin, sheyunaf hamekatzer al hamarich. And those the two don't go together. There's an inherent contradiction between the idea of the Mizbeach, or the idea of the Beis HaMikdash, and the idea of any kind of metallic implement. And that shows you that again, that somehow the Mizbeach is disqualified by using metallic implement. And Rashi gives the reason, and apparently, in a similar kind of fashion, there are other rayas as well, but I'm not going to go into all the rayas. I'm just indicating that this is a halacha that is found in the first pasuk in this week's parsha. V'yikhu li, And Rashi says, Li, as I mentioned, Li means Lishmi, that the Beis HaMikdash has to be built Lishma. Just 1 second, if you don't mind, just giving you 1 second more. And I'll just mention something else that I heard from Hagon of Chaim Shul Levitz Zatzal. In one of the sikhot that I heard from him many, many years ago, so he suggested another explanation why David HaMelech's wars disqualified him from constructing the Beis HaMikdash. He suggested that in a state of war, it's very difficult to construct the Beis HaMikdash Lishma. Because the merit of having a Beis HaMikdash serves to protect Klal Yisrael. I assume you're familiar perhaps with Pesukim in Tanakh and Sefer Shmuel, where the Navi says explicitly, do you not have a chair?
No, no, I'm forced to.
You're allowed to sit?
Yeah.
Okay. That the Navi says very clearly that the idea of the Beis HaMikdash would detract from the Shema if we have intentions, war intentions and the like. I mean, even if the motivation is a sincere motivation, but the additional intention of protection from the enemy makes it no longer pure Lishma. And we want to have actually a pure Lishma situation, and that's what Rashi says. And it's interesting that that's why Hashem tells David HaMelech who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash, his son Shlomo, because he's going to be Ish Menucha. I assume you learn Tanakh, I imagine. You're familiar with Tanakh, it's something that's good to do every single day. 10 to 15 minutes of Tanakh a day will keep the doctor away. I just heard another one of these insignias a moment ago. I can't even repeat it because I would have to memorize it. He's at Glenn Rambam. But anyway, I appreciate it. Did you have a Ragala?
Yeah.
Good, Baruch Hashem. Excellent.
Very good, thank you.
You're most welcome. It could be unique too in order to say Baruch Hashem, I'm not sure. You have to ask Rabbi Yerko.
I
need
three.
You need three. Okay. Better. That's for sure. You have a subbing bracha. Anyway, so Shlomo HaMelech is told by Hashem that that's what Hashem tells David HaMelech, that Shlomo's going to be an Ish Menucha, and as a result, he'll have peace from all his enemies, and therefore he's going to be the one who's going to build the Beis HaMikdash. And obviously, it's much easier to have an intent of the Shema during an era of peace and tranquility, which is the case with reference to Shlomo HaMelech. And the Lishma has to be so pure that any other minute kavana, which is in a different direction, can invalidate the construction of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's very interesting. I don't think we find any other mitzvah, as far as I know, that requires such a high level of Lishma. That's what I heard from Abchaim Shulevitz. No other mitzvah. There are other mitzvahs of Lishma. I'll get to them in a moment. Just to give you an example of what I'm talking about. Probably the most famous example is the issue of Yibum. You're all familiar with the mitzvah of Yibum. The Torah says that Tiyeshu Achim Yachdo, if you have two brothers that are living together, one of them dies without a child. So what's the din? The din is a din of Yibum. Yibum the sister-in-law is now going to be in a position where there can be Yibum, and Yibum means that the brother will perform Yibum, marry the widow, and as a result, the Torah describes that kind of phenomena in order lahakim la'akiv shame b'Yisrael, that the deceased brother should continue, his name should be perpetuated in Klal Yisrael. That's what the Torah describes in the Sefer Dvarim. So now the question is, let's say I marry my sister-in-law because she's an absolutely attractive damsel. She's beautiful beyond belief. And a person marries her, or he wants to, let's try to put it politely, he wants to gratify his sexual desires. Is that considered to be appropriate to be mekayim the mitzvah of Yibam, or any other ulterior motive? So the Gemara says, it's a famous Gemara actually, the Gemara comments that that is not considered to be appropriate. Why is that not considered to be appropriate? Because the pasuk indicates that offhand, the mitzvah of Yibam should be done, ideally should be done the Shema. But at the end of the day, there's an opinion. If I'm not mistaken, the opinion actually is that of Abba Shaul. Abba Shaul claims that if someone has such ulterior motives, so he claims that, I think he says, notani, I'm inclined to believe that the child of such a union is a mamzer. Wow. Is if my kavanah is not l'shem shamayim, when I perform the mitzvah of Yibum, the child of that union is a mamzer. Wow, what a statement. That should remind you of the Gemara Gittin, which Gemara am I referring to? The Pei of the Beis. Namely, Machlok is a man of the Chachamim. Do we have this to what? Someone not saying before I did before I left up. And then what happens? Come Shabbat Beish, Shabbat Chachamim Gittin, Avlad Mamzer, Pili, Kloy. One second, do we pass on the halacha like that? No. Do we pass on the halacha like Abishol? No. The Gemara said, the Ferish, you weren't Yavamis, where's that Lama test? The Gemara passes Yavamis that, no, Yavama Yavo Allah, but Yima, we don't care what the motivation is. But what do we see? That there is an opinion of Abishol that says that it has to be Lishma. You have to do the mitzvah of Shem Shammai, the mitzvah of Yima. And you should know, one second, that there are more passing the halacha in Ebene Ezer, and this is essentially a psak of the Ashkenazim. We'll get to the Sfaradim in a moment. But the Ashkenazim, they have a very clear position because they're worried about Abishol. Even though Chacham say Yibam is permissible, even though my Kabbalah is another Shem Shamayim, but at the end of the day, only on rare occasions that the Ashkenazim are they willing to consider such a Yibam, because if you don't do the Shem Shamayim, then clearly something is missing. And this is a big machlokes among the poskim regarding how to interpret this ruling of Abishol. Was his intention that my only motivation should be to be mekayim the mitzvah? That's my sole motivation, to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam, and otherwise I'm not able to fulfill the mitzvah of Yibam. And in fact, if I'm drawn by her beauty, so that would be something which is absolutely unconscionable, inappropriate. Is that the pshat or no? Does he? If a person has more than one motivation, namely, he wants to mekayim the mitzvah of Yibam, but he also sees a beautiful young woman in front of him, so you have many kabbalas, multiple kabbalas. What is the pshat in Abishol? That's a whole discussion. At the end of the day, that we see that there's an inherent difficulty that that a person should be mekayim the mitzvah, at least according to Ashkenazim. By the way, Ashkenazim don't do the mitzvah of Yibam at all today. What do? Chalitza. You familiar with the din of chalitza? Lo yachos ha'ish. The guy doesn't want to do the mitzvah, and then they go ahead and do the mitzvah chalitza. I myself saw chalitza a number of times in my lifetime, and it was not a very pleasant kind of situation per se. But whatever the case is, the yibum was not performed. Svardin, arayom hazeh, arukai the mitzvah yibum. Wow. Svardin have a lot of interesting elements to them. Under the grandfather clause, I think I told you this story. I'm pretty sure I did. When I was in Eretz Yisrael in 1971-72, I was very interested in finding out more about an Adam Godel, great one of the Gdolei Ador, Rav Yosef Kapach, Zechatzal Debracha. Anyone heard that name? Very famous family. They traced themselves all the way back to the days of the Rambam. And he's a mechaber of literally scores of svarim. He actually published 30 volumes on the Rambam. He collected Kisvei Yad from Teiman. Teiman meaning?
Yemen.
Yemen. Yemenite, great Yemenite Talmud Chacham, great Yemenite Tzaddik. So I decided I have to look into the Yemenite community and see what's happening. So there's an area called here, Machane Yehuda, in Yerushalayim. Pashuk Machane Yehuda. Anyone ever been there?
Maybe.
They have excellent Ragalach over there. They're Chagav. And all kinds of other goodies as well. So I decided to go there for a Shabbos, see what's happening in the Yemenite community. So I got myself invited. I know how to do that quite well. But anyway, so I got myself invited to a family. And then when I come home from Shul, from Rav Kapach Zatzal, I discover, wow, it looks like a relatively large family over here. Many more than I would assume. Yeah, the average family, I don't know if the average family, Orthodox Jewish family is
4, 5, 6, 7.
There looked about 25 to 30 people there. I said, wow, this is something. Then I discovered there were 3 wives. Wow. Took me a while until I got the lay of the land.
What about the Takana?
So Ashkenazim don't marry more than one wife because it turns out in the Gersha. You're familiar with it. That you can't marry more than one wife. So I've never accepted the Chayav in the Gersha. And therefore, polygamy, it's permissible. Now, it so happens that they got married in Yemen, this particular family, this gentleman who had 3 wives. So he has, under the grandfather clause, was able to somehow come to Eretz Yisrael, and it was accepted. There is a law against bigamy in this country. You live in America. There's a law against bigamy in America as well. Not that everyone necessarily follows that law. There are people in different parts of the country, you may or may not be aware.
Utah,
correct? They seem to be doing their own thing. And the like. Okay, so now back to this issue is that Svadim, Meisha Adin, can have more than one wife. However, even among Svadim today, it's probably not so regular that they go ahead and perform the mitzvah of Yibum, but I'm only mentioning this again because here the issue of Lishma comes to the fore again. And in general, you know there's a big machlokes in the Gemara all over Shas, whether mitzvah is Kabbalah or not. I assume you probably learned those figures a number of times. And we pass on the halacha, and it's mentioned clearly in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Samach. In Siman Samach, there's a din in Mechaber passes the halacha that mitzvah is Sichas Kabbalah, but generally that refers to mitzvah Daraisa. But I'm just indicating that the dinim of Lishma are incredibly severe, dafka over here by the building of the Beis Hamikdash, and as I mentioned at the outset, I mentioned a number of Rambams, and even the quarrying, the hewing out of the stones has to be Lishma when it comes to the Mishkan, which shows you the nature of what this mitzvah is all about, a very high level kind of mitzvah that requires Lishma. I mean, for example, you have other, I'll give you another example. I assume everyone here learned Avriv Sochim, the first Mishnah anyway, so the Mishnah said Avriv Sochim, Avriv Sochim, Sam Lechem Intam, Lo Yochal Adam HaShetechsha. You're not supposed to eat. Excellent, see? You're not supposed to eat till it gets dark. Why not? So there's a famous Rashbam. Soloveitchik was very fond of this Rashbam. You and I have him in common, because you're the only people in the Shiva. Anyway, so the Rashbam comments, why? Why should you not eat at Shetechsha? So the Rashbam's comments over there because of what?
Appetite.
Because of appetite. Excellent. Because of the halacha, that person has to have an appetite. Eat matzah on Pesach night. There's a mitzvah of the Eretz of Eretzoku Matzos. You have to have an appetite. But the Rashbam adds one thing, Mishum Hidur Mitzvah. And this is a famous comment of Soloveitchik. Hidur Mitzvah, the Gemara says in Shabbos, the Kuflam the base, is a din of the Chetzah Shul Mitzvah. It's supposed to have a beautiful lulav, beautiful esrog, beautiful mezuzah. And here the Hidur Mitzvah is where? In the Gavra, the person himself. We don't want you to overeat. There are Pesach, so you won't, you'll be sated. When it comes to the sated, you won't be able to do the Kadim Mitzvah. So if you were to ask me, I would say the contrary. That one should be satiated. Dafka and Erev Pesach, one should eat as much as one can, and another one be close to being satiated when partaking of this mitzvah. In this way, the matzah will be eaten purely the Shem Shamayim. There won't be any other intentions. Otherwise, I might have other intentions, such as, I'm starving. Even the Brits starve once in a while. They're mostly tzaddikim, the ones that we have in our yeshiva, so they're able to, Yoshe B'tayim is called Erev Kula. Chazal require the opposite. Chazal apparently here decreed, not like that. They decree that having an appetite is an intrinsic part of the mitzvah, and it doesn't detract from performance with all your heart. And another example, there's a mitzvah of Omri Shabbos. Someone asked me, a Baal Tshuva just asked me this question last Shabbos. He came to my house to ask me this question. I couldn't believe what was happening. Many people eat fish on Shabbos. You're aware of this? They call it gefilte fish. Do you know what that is? I didn't think you would know what that is. How would you translate for a Svadi Tahar gefilte fish?
It's a loaf of fish.
A loaf of fish. Thank you. A fish loaf. You know what it is. So, well, why is it called gefilte? The word gefilte in Yiddish means filled in. What they put in there is everything but the kitchen sink. So they put in the gefilte fish. That's why it's called gefilte. Filled. Filler. Filling.
Good.
You get my drift?
Yes.
Excellent. I'm making progress. So there are people who dafka are makbid to eat gefilte fish every meal. Who here is makbid every meal to eat gefilte fish here? The Einikol. The Einikol of Hashira is makbid to eat gefilte fish every
some
meal.
Some other people in the Shiva.
That's right. Baruch Hashem. The Gemara speaks about the Gemara Shabbos, Kasa the Harsana, which is probably some sort of fish. Maybe it's, I'm not sure it's herring. People claim it's herring. I don't know if it's herring or not. Anyone here like herring?
Yeah.
Excellent. That's a good sign of a good lit box. Otherwise, you can't be a lit box.
I kind of like cholent, though.
Cholent as well. That's good. They eat hamin. Is that what you eat on Shabbos? Baruch Hashem. So we have some fine Jews here. Both of Sephardic origin, Ashkenazic origin. Why am I saying all this? So this person comes on Erev Shabbos. Okay, he came Friday night. And he told me that he does not like gefilte fish. Is he also in the midst of any Shabbos? Could you believe this? What's the answer?
Yes.
Of course you are. Shabbos lo nikdita v'lo tzaras, as I'll say. Shabbos is given the purpose of oneg. What does oneg mean?
To enjoy.
I'm not mechuyev to go ahead and sate myself with gefilte fish that I find reprehensible, detestable. That is not oneg Shabbos. There's no chiyev, no obligation. So in effect, I'm just trying to indicate that so too, eating matzah, you should have an appetite to eat matzah. But again, all these things are not the same as what I just mentioned over here, that when it says, yikuli tuma, that has to be lishmi. Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of quoting the Kutzker Rebbe. Anyone ever heard of the Kutzker Rebbe? You heard the Kutzker Rebbe? The Admor B'Kutzk? Who was he?
I heard of him.
A Hasidic sage. Because finally I say Hasidic sage. You heard of Hasidim? Sages, you have, his father had many, many great sages. I'm being quite serious. Chaval, you never met Rav Avadah Zatzal. But I'm sure you met other great sages. Which ones have you met?
Rav David Yosef.
Oh. Rav David Yosef, Kedai, Mishma Shihur, Mayudi Azeh. Gon Adir. And not only is he a Gon Adir, his brothers, Rav Yitzhak Yosef, the Rabbi Rashid, the chief rabbi of the state of Israel, also Gon Adir. All the Yosef children are remarkable. And what I say about them? Yosef Hashem Alechem Pechem El Pamim. Translate. I have to say it in Ashkenazi terminology. Yosef Hashem Alechem Pechem El Pamim. What does that mean? Divor Hashem Kashem Diver. What does that mean to you? Deuteronomy. What does it mean? Yosef Hashem Alechem. Halavai, we should have 1,000 more like that. Like the Yosef children. Great to know yourself. So, thank you. I have the best of both possible worlds. On one side, I'm of Saudi origin, great Chachamim. On the other side, I'm from Vilna. So I have the best of all possible worlds. That's why I'm the ideal person in this issue. And I appreciate both the Sfaradim and the Ashkenazim equally. I don't discriminate against anyone. Neither Sfaradim nor Ashkenazim. I love them all. You probably think I'm a bit off the deep end. Is that what you think? I do have certain daffy qualities. But in general, I'm pretty straightforward. I like all Jews. Now, the reason why I say this is because there's a comment of the Kutzker. That's how we started. The Kutzker Rebbe says, Kol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Where does it say that? Wow. Ethics of our fathers, otherwise known as
Kavos.
Making progress. In Pirkei Avos, it says, V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. Let all your deeds be what? Be l'shem shamayim. So he asked the Kutzker, what do you mean, V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim? Let all your deeds. What's that coming to emphasize? So the answer is that even when a person does something l'shem shamayim, that also has to be l'shem shamayim. Even your acts that are allegedly l'shem shamayim, you also have to have another additional kapara. That should be l'shem shamayim. Most of what we do often is not l'shem shamayim. You get my drift? Namely, what do I mean?
As in, like, we have self-pleasure.
That's right. Not only self-pleasure, we have many other elements that probably drive us to do what we do. The fact of the matter is, even though Chazal say, mitoch shelo lishma, bo lishma. 1 second, it's a famous Gemara. The olden b'yasa gadol b'torah b'mitzvah avinu shelo lishma, shemitoch shelo lishma, bo lishma. The Rambam writes in the Akdom, B'yish HaMishnayis, he tells you, you can't expect a young child to do mitzvahs lishma. So you have to engage in what? What is known as workout challenges. Means temporization. It's a Rambam. Rabbi Roblaski is only following the Rambam. He knows the Rambam. He follows the Rambam.
How do you do things purely lishma? As a shield author?
Well,
just purely lishma.
I am not the one to really respond, since I don't think I know how. But I think that there are individuals who come to the yeshiva. One comes on Sunday night, Shonabet, he speaks to them often, if I'm not mistaken. You'll ask him, because he knows how to do things lishma. It's very difficult to do something completely lishma. with total intent. I mean, the Gemara says, "Imsachem afkay dafnun." The Olam Biyasek Olam B'Torah Mitzavish Shalolishma Shemitzach Shalolishma Balishma. It's hard to get to a madrega of the Shema, but I'll be honest with you. I think all of you can do it. That is to say, that Lachatila should do a mitzvah Shalolishma, even for a workout challenge, even for Papagayo, even for whatever incentivization is involved, buying svarim, or getting a good meal, or I don't know what else. What else does Rabbi Roblowski offer?
Money.
Money, okay. That's his
goal.
All that is fine and dandy. Not ideal, but fine and dandy. But at the end of the day, hopefully, you'll become so enamored of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs that you'll come to the point where you'll do the Shema, because you just, I'll tell you the one before you, one second more. I once heard from a number of Gdol Yisrael, not once, but actually a fair number of times, and my wife, Shlita, told me, she heard from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the wife of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that after he passed away, so Rabbi Moshe Feinstein was asked about her husband's connection with Torah. So she said, my husband was a shikar when it came to learning Torah. You know what that means?
A drunk,
an absolute drunkard. What does that mean? Of course, it doesn't mean Chas V'Shalom is God forbid lying in the streets, but rather, he had such an addiction to Limud HaTorah that he literally could not stop for a second to learn Torah. And no question, his learning of Torah was completely Lishma, in Shum Sofer. So all of you can achieve some level of that, and that's what we have to try to do so. Yeah, who wanted to say something just now? I'm sorry, yeah.
Yeah, is there not a case where if you do something, you're not really happy with what you do? Say you do the Shema, and you kind of maybe feel a little upset that you did it, and it's a mitzvah, you lose a bit of the mitzvah because...
I would like to think that you get the mitzvah, as long as you did the mitzvah, even though you may have had some... whatever, as you just described, residual kind of reservations. But b'chalzov, you did the mitzvah, you get the mitzvah, as long as you did the ma'aseh mitzvah. Of course, again, pure lishma is not an easy attainment. It's something that requires enormous amount of work, and something that all of us, as I honestly said a moment ago, can achieve with a lot of effort and a lot of diligence. And it comes about, again, as I said, someone who actually is involved in the study of Torah and involved in the study of Torah in a very serious kind of way. Over the years, they'll become so addicted to it, and they'll literally, after, at a certain point in time, they'll learn to love it, and that's really the ideal that I want you to try to strive for. It takes a long time, but all of it can be accomplished, and all of you are certainly at different stages of that accomplishment already. Little by little, blah, blah, that's exactly what happens. Okay, so all this was simply to understand this, shall we say, beginning Rashi, the Ikhuli Truma, the Rashi says, speaks about the Shema. Now I want to make another comment. This is the second Kasha that was asked to me this morning. And again, I will comment on it. The Pasuk, of course, as you know, is very difficult. This Kasha is asked by literally everyone. And on this Kasha is a famous Beis Halevi, which became one of my favorite Svarim recently, again, because someone brought a very nice Beis Halevi to me. And I've been in love with the Beis Halevi since my Bar Mitzvah days. Which is a year or two ago. And so the Beis HaLevi has a comment on this pasuk. Gabriel ben Yisrael, v'yichul l'tumah. What is the problem with the language of this pasuk? Let's just translate it. Speak to Klal Yisrael and take for me a donation. Why does it say take? What should it say?
Give.
Give, excellent. That's the Arachayim HaKodesh in the spot. Kimat Ovi Shem Mestekashim. She said v'yichul l'tumah. Not v'yichul l'tumah. What's v'yichul l'tumah? Andy, you here? Kasha is fairly evident.
He wasn't speaking to Klal Yisrael, he was speaking to Moshe. Moshe would be taking from Klal Yisrael.
You hear what the Enigel said? You know what the word Enigel means?
Grandson.
Not Tom. Grandson. He's a grandson of a great Rosh Hashiva. I call him that out of my profound Heretz, both for the Rosh Hashiva and for his grandson. He has a lot of yichas, besides his own yichas, which he's beginning to now grow and develop and nurture and cultivate in a very profound way. But he has a bit of a head start on me because he's got that yichus. So, I also have yichus. I'm related to other Marisha. Anyway, I said it just went over your head. Okay, but anyway, so here we have a pasuk, and so what Sam suggested is not a bad suggestion. This is told to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Yechuli Truma. But there are other answers, and there are another number of approaches. And maybe this is what you're suggesting, that one trap is that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was telling, Hashem was telling Moshe to speak to those entrusted with the collection. Then the Gavoi Tzlaka. Who are the Gavoi Tzlaka involved in the Mishkan? Bezalel and Aliyah. Betalon Aliyah. They should take donations from the nation. And that would interpret the words Dabel Bnei Yisrael, again, as the article suggested, not referring to all of Klal Yisrael, but a subset of Klal Yisrael. That's one approach. And many Mefarshim say this. Very good. Rav Shekivanta, you're on the right. Another explanation that we can't speak of giving to Hashem. We can only speak about what we receive from Hashem. When David HaMelech collected donations for the construction of the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Ki miyocha akol, umiyocha nasanu lach. It means everything belongs to Hashem, and from your hand we've given to you. Basically, nothing belongs to us, everything belongs to Hashem. And now we're going ahead and basically giving Hashem that which is His. There's a famous Gemara of Avasur, I actually zirax the Gemara. The Gemara tells us about Munbaz HaMelech. That once, the Gemara says, he depleted all his treasuries. Apparently, he received a lot of money from his four bears. There are only three bears, but the Gemara speaks about four bears. Some people get something about Hashem. Hashem should bless him. So the Gemara says here that... I'm trying my best to entertain, but I'm not very matzliach, as you can see. Anyway, now the Gemara tells us that he depleted his treasuries and the treasures of his forebears to feed Aniyim during the years of famine. So the whole family was very much opposed to this because, essentially, what's happening? You're giving away the entire inheritance. Very wealthy person, and now giving money to tzedakah. All the money's going to tzedakah. So why are you wasting all our money? Why are you squandering all our money? So Munbaz answered that my forebears, they hoarded wealth here. But by giving tzedakah, I am hoarding above in Shmei Shavai, in a secure place.
That's not Shmei.
So, one second. So what is he saying? When he gives, he's actually taking for himself. Because the schus of giving tzedakah will always remain with him. When we keep the money for ourselves, who knows how long we'll manage to hold on to it. Gemara says in Shabbos that anius, or poverty, is a galgal achayzer. One day, A is an ani and B is an ashir. The next day, B is an ani and A is an ashir. So giving tzedakah is something which is a tremendous mitzvah. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Matos Aniyim that ein adam he'ani, person will never become poor from giving charity. Of course, Chazal limited the amount of money a person gives in charity. What is the maximum amount a person can give?
1%.
Excellent. The Chafetz Chaim has in the Sefer Avos Chesed a whole discussion of what the parameters are. There are circumstances where a person will give actually more than a fifth. One is multi billionaire, so then you can go. There's a gentleman now who is spending much more than a fifth, but not really. He's worth $60 billion, and he wants to win the Democratic primary, and he doesn't have a whit of a chance in the world, according to my humble opinion. His name is
Mike.
Bloomberg.
Trump calls him Mini Mike.
Trump calls him Mini Mike. Mini because of his size.
Yeah.
Sometimes size actually, I said about the Goyin Ador, Agoyin, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, big things come in little packages.
Pack and punch.
But that does not apply to Mini Mike. Anyway, so he's only spent about $400 million. And he can spend another $400 million, will have no impact whatsoever. But money is not everything. And certainly, however, that a person who gives money to tzedakah, so Chazal placed a limitation, one-fifth, because we don't want, God forbid, that a person should have to have recourse to open miracles, to open nisim. And, but someone who's in a position to do so can do so, but most of us should not do so. And you know also the Gemara Baba Kama. Many of you who are shown a bed remember the Gemara Baba Kama. Namely, if I have to purchase a shofar, a lulav, or an esrog, or a futon for a sukkah, not to mention if I don't own a pair of tzitzit or tefillin, so then how much money am I allowed to spend up to for a hizo mitzvah? One-third. The Gemara Baba Kama. One of the I assume you learned that Gemara. You remember that Gemara? Please, don't say a second more. That means if a kosher so with the cost 20 shekel, you can spend up to 30 shekel, because the calculation of a third is referred to as chemesh milabar, outside. One-third of the sum total of 30 may be the heathen, as opposed to milgar, but in the third, which would be one-third of the basic 20 shekels. That's the Gemara of the Kama, you probably familiar with it. Gemara of test. Whatever the case is, yes, what do you want to say?
If someone wasn't in a position to give gives a lot of money to charity or tzedakah, but he gave more than one-fifth. Is that like a praiseworthy thing, or that's just...
It depends. The Chafetz Chaim has klolim. The Chafetz Chaim has many klolim. He said that under certain circumstances, a person can give a fifth. For example, the end of a person's lifetime, when God forbid a person is about to depart from this world, then he has the right to go ahead and give more than a fifth if that he has the wherewithal to do so, and he gives other circumstances. If you take a look at the Sefer Avos Chesed, a very gorgeous, beautiful Sefer that Chafetz Chaim wrote, they discuss the parameters of this. But I just want to now comment on tzedakah a little bit, if I may, since I'm discussing this. You know, there are three makaras of the mitzvah tzedakah in Chumash. I seem to familiar with it. One is here, but this refers to tzedakah, which is given to a communal institution, the Mishkan. This is tzedakah that is chal on a tzibur. There are two other sets of psukim in Chumash that talk about tzedakah given to a yachid. Namely, what are the two psukim? One pasuk is found in Bahar, Kiyom Chachicha, and the Torah says if someone is in a bad situation, and the Rambam comments on that pasuk, that there are eight malos to tzedakah. What is the greatest malo at tzedakah? When you provide someone with a job. By provide someone with a job, or give them the tools to have a job, an education, that's a good thing. You and I are in agreement over there. That's a good thing, and a person can be self-sustaining, and can be autonomous, and has the ability to make a living, and that's a very significant aspect of a person's life that you should be cognizant of. That's a Parshin Bahar. And then there's a Parshin Re'ei. The Parshin Re'ei talks about the mitzvah tzedakah. You recall the Parshin Re'ei. The Torah there says, Pasuach titzach es yoncho l'chicha, that you're supposed to open up your pockets, l'chicha, l'vyoncha, be'atzecha, and if a person is, God forbid, in a situation of poverty, you have to give the person money. So there are three separate mitzvahs. One is a mitzvah on the tzibur, found here in Truma, to communal institutions. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, oh, here you are, Uriah. Rav Soloveitchik used to say all the time, the difference between non-Jews and Jews, he said this, that non-Jews have a concept of giving money to cancer foundation, heart foundation, tuberculosis foundation, I imagine there'll be shortly corona virus foundation, Chalavai should not spread any further, Chas v'Shalom, should be limited to where it is, and maybe Chas v'Shalom one day, not spread, Chas v'Shalom which is spread, and somehow I don't see what exactly is happening. Someone just asked me, one of my balabatim is about to leave the country. I said, where are you going? To the United States. Do I need a mask? Al pi halacha. How would you answer that question?
Not America.
Maybe going to England. Would you require a mask going to England? I don't think so either, as far as I know. But I'm not a doctor, and I'm not infectious disease. That's not my area. I'm not Rabbi Glatt's father. That's his area. And he's been interviewed on this matter a number of times. Okay, there are three parshas in Chumash and Tzedakah. That's what we're interested in. So I want to mention the famous machlokes, the Rambam and the Ritzvah. Now, Soloveitchik was very fond of this machlokes. Please, I just continue the conversation now. I'll just remind myself. So he said, Goyim, they can give to foundations. But if an individual comes to their knock on their door and says, marrying off a daughter tomorrow night, ich muss haben Geld, I need money. You know what they'll do to that person? Fashmeta them. They don't have any concept of giving money to an individual. And we are surrounded by this, unfortunately. You have to, we have a concept of giving tzedakah to individuals who are in need. Someone who wants to marry off a child, someone who's impoverished for whatever reason, not because he's a lazy person, but because he's not matzliach, or he doesn't have a tzedakah in his job, or whatever it may be, so we are willing to give them tzedakah. That's a concept only Jews have, such a concept. So the two parshas in Bahar, and the one in Re'ei, is something that's relevant only to Jews, Kashanati, Mimaran Harav Zatzal, from the Gadol Ador, that's what I heard. And non-Jews don't have that concept. But the third parsha here in Tzuma, of giving money to a tzibur. Okay, so I want to tell you, Machlokas the Rambam Mitzvah, which you should be aware of. Very fascinating Machlokas. I have a dollar, and now I can take a dollar as an American coin. I have a dollar, and now, you know what a dollar is? A pound. Okay.
It's
less than a pound. I didn't know that. What is it these days?
No,
I don't even know what it is.
A dollar is less than a pound.
Less than a pound. Okay.
125.
I know in Canada, when I was in Canada, actually, when I lived there many, many years ago, there was one point that the dollar was on, literally, Canadian dollar was on parity with the American dollar. It was almost like a Nisei. Like decent glue, like open miracles. Of course, the reason was because I was living there. But the moment I left, you know, everything fell apart. Anyway, so the... I like to get laughs out of the Brits. that they're very, Baruch Hashem, generally proper people. But they know how to laugh too, I see. They have a sense of humor, rather markedly different than the American sense of humor. That's what I've noticed. This I've noticed over the last 25 years since I met the English when I came to, I think I told you once that I once went to High Corner in London.
I never heard that.
You don't come to enough of my shiur. Anyway, so the, come to war, you'll hear me more. So I saw that people get up at this corner and start propounding all kinds of theories.
Yes.
So I said to myself, I'm going to get up too. I got up there, and I was wearing a cap. You don't identify, I don't think necessarily, do I look Jewish? Yes, okay. But anyway, so I got up there with a cap, and I begin to discuss the history of England as a colony of America. This is hardcore. And I'm familiar with history, both American history and European history, and also I'm quite familiar with what happened during the colonial period, and I begin to expound on the fact that the nature of this country, it's basically still a colony, and hasn't really moved ahead, and the weather here is absolutely, it's mostly inclement weather called Ayom Kalayla, and it's always dark here, and gloomy, and bleak. Anyway, before I do it, a whole bunch of people are beginning to gather around me with very sinister looks. And so I said to myself, it doesn't look very, shall we say, very healthy for me. I better leave while I'm still ahead. And so I quickly scooted out of there very quickly. But I got a kick out of the whole thing, because I heard a number of people get up there and issue these proclamations and make statements about politics, all kinds of things. And that's what the function of that area is, isn't that?
Yeah.
So I like to do things like that. And so I proceeded to do so. And they permitted me to do so for about 5, 6, 7 minutes, and then it got a little bit, I saw Sovik Sakona.
As long as one doesn't say anything against the royal family, you're okay.
That is correct. Anyway, so I'm going to the refund, I'll just make it quick. So let's say I have whatever, it's $5, okay, $5 American or 5 shekels. And I have the opportunity either to give to one person $5, or to divide $5 into 500 pennies. A penny is a...
Pence.
A pence. Thank you.
We say pennies.
What? You say pennies also? Okay. So I have to give 500 pennies. What is it better to do? So the rich man says, what's the subit? No question about it. You give $5. What's the subit? What are you going to do with a pence or a penny or a nickel or a shekel? Or even $5 for that matter. Maybe you can buy a pack of bubble gum. A few bubble gums you could buy for $5 today. That's what the rich man says. You want to be Mahanad Ani. You want to give the Ani something that he can benefit from. What does the Rambam say?
It's not for the receivers to give him.
So that's what the Rambam says. If I have 100 prutas to give to an Ani, I should give the pruta 100 times rather than the lump sum of 100 prutas. Why? Because giving tzedakah is not just for the recipient, the one who receives the tzedakah, but it's primarily, if not preeminently, for whom? For the donor, for the giver, for the philanthropic individual to develop that sense of philanthropy. And we see from the Rambam an unbelievable chiddush. So that was very, very Uriel. Again, you and I are the only two left in the world here who have a sense of Asal Reche. I fell in love with that fellow. Me'aser ben shvinte. Wow. I love it. I'm being honest. That's my guru. I hope you don't mind. What can I do? I was zochet to learn on the Gola Ador, probably the greatest Magid Shir of this century. No, that's not true. The greatest Mashiach the last 100 years? No, that's not true. Probably the greatest Mashiach maybe in the last 700 years. Probably since the days of other Marisham. Anyway, but the Chazal, what we learned from the Rambam is that we have to improve our own character. That's the whole idea of giving tzedakah. There's a Gemara that Rav Soloveitchik is the son of Rav Asra, and I'll just end with this. Tunis Rufus HaRasha. He's a Roman general, a real character. So he asked, if Hashem is Olevaniim, if he loves the poor people, so why does he not sustain them? So what does Rabbi Kiva answer? Anyone know the answer of Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva says, in order that through our giving them, we'll be saved, midina shel Gehenim. We'll be saved from the judgment of Gehenim. What does that mean? There's no shortage of ways which Hashem can provide for the poor. However, Hashem wants to provide us with a place to inherit Olam Haba. He wants us to have schusim, and schuyos, and merits. We should be able to get into Olam Haba. So Tunis Rufus argues was, if Hashem made a person poor, so we have no right to go against that. That's the rule of Hashem. Nigmar HaEsek, no tzedakah. Person comes to you, slam the door in their face. You're a poor person, tough niggies. Tough luck. Ha ha. Your problem. What else did I say? Any other expressions? You probably have a few that would help us.
They'll come to me. I'll come to me.
Or some people will say, why don't you go to work for a living? Why are you such a B-U-M? Good for nothing. Chas v'sholem, we should take such an approach. Rachman litzlan. God forbid. Hashem is our Father. We are His children. If a child suffers, the father is happy when somebody cares for him and gives him food. And that should be the approach. And therefore, at times Hashem makes the person ill in order to give us the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah of Rapa Yerapa. And a similar kind of fashion here as well. That the Torah gives us the opportunity to be Mekayim a mitzvah, but the mitzvah is designed for one reason. One primary reason, the Rambam says, to develop our character, to become people who are Balei Chesed, and that's really the whole intent of the Torah. The Gemara says, and with this we'll end, HaTorah Tchilasa Gvilas Chasodim, B'Sodim Gvilas Chasodim. The whole idea of Torah is to develop and nurture and cultivate that Midah of Chesed. That's what we'll have to do. That's what the Rambam says. Better to give, to divide that amount of money into very small segments, even though the recipient will gain much less, but it will ultimately, hopefully, transform us. And that's the reason why we study Torah as well. The studying of Torah is, the question is, how do we pass it? The pass like the mitzvah or the Rambam?
Yeah.
That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
You're asking a very good question. How do I find out how we pass the halacha in this matter? Do we always pass like the Rambam? Every time?
Sure does.
That's a correct statement. But not always do we pass like the Rambam. Other Yishuv sometimes argue the Rambam. In order to answer this question, maybe I'll leave this a question for you, and by tomorrow you'll report back to me. Is that possible? I can ask such a request. Now, in order to answer the question, you'll have to open Yerodea, Hilchos Tzedaka. There is a Shulchan Aruch called Yerodea, and there's an area called Hilchos Tzedaka. And in Hilchos Tzedaka, you will look into it a little bit, if you don't mind, maybe just give you a little Tzedel Aderech. Who's going to look at it? Excellent. He's my man. He's my Rebbe. The outstanding young man. Baruch Hashem. All of you outstanding young men. Anyway, halavai, we should be zocher to both build mishkanos lishma and perform the mitzvah tzedakah, and we should become a great halachah.